Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you are listening to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we talk about films we think might be underrated, underseen, or sometimes we just want to talk about them. I'm the host for this week, Josh Hallam, and I'm joined, as ever, by my wonderful co-host, Alice Oliver. Alice, you okay?
Hello, yes, very well, thank you. How are you, Josh?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Fettling, as they say.
Fettling?
Do they say that?
Excuse me? I don't know. I've never heard that before in my life.
Well, you're Welsh, aren't you? Probably. What's your version of I'm doing all right in Welsh?
Ardderchog. Oh, not Araf. Yeah. I'm not slow today.
That's the only word. Probably ping.
Ardderchog will do.
So very well, very excited. You know why, don't you, Alice?
I always know why, Josh.
Because, well, why?
Why? Why indeed?
Why?
Because we've got yet another fantastic guest. We're so good at this.
Another brilliant guest.
We
keep saying no more guests and they keep begging, coming to us, let me come and talk about a film on your podcast. We are joined by the fantastic comedian and podcast host of Insane in the Membrane podcast, Rich Wilson. How you doing, man? You okay?
I'm good, thank you. I haven't heard fettling in years.
Never heard it.
Proper old people speak.
Do you know what it is? It's right. So today, she doesn't listen, so it doesn't matter. It's my grandma's 90th birthday.
Oh,
and she's proper
happy birthday,
old,
grandma.
Thank you. She's proper old school East Lancashire. So if you got fettling, I'm fettling, aye. She doesn't sound like a bloke, but that is, you know, that's what she'll say. Oh, I'm fettling, aye, stuff like
nice.
That.
Nice.
I must have just picked it up from her. But anyway, thank you very much for coming on. So again, if you don't know, if you've never listened to a guest episode at home, we always start a guest episode with a random question. We normally put it out to the audience and they normally give us some suggestions. Got a few weird ones this time. So I will read you the normal question in a minute, but I got this one on Instagram. What's your blood type? So that's someone who wants to steal all of our identities.
Interesting.
So yeah,
what's your blood type?
What is your mother's maiden name?
What's the last three numbers on the back?
Yeah, someone there wants to steal all of our identities. The answer is I'm not telling you. And then my favourite, which isn't the question, is, and bear in mind, the post is, we always have a random question. So just a nice, you know, conversation starter. What do you think will happen to the USA if Trump is re-elected? Fucking hell. It's a light-hearted film podcast. Anyway, so this is from Magnum314159 on Twitter, and they say, I'll start with you, Alice. I think I know the answer, though.
Oh.
Do you still own any music cassette tapes, and do you still play them?
No, I don't think I do, but I probably hung on to my last few. Sorry, I just spat all over the place then. Apologies. Good thing
exciting,
this is a podcast
isn't it?
And you can't
yeah,
see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I probably hung on to them till quite late, thinking, nah, these will be important. These will be important in my life at some point. Because I kept all of my VHSs for way longer than I should have done, but they ultimately all went. No, I probably don't have a single cassette tape in my ownership anymore.
I bet you got vinyl. You strike me as a vinyl
person. I don't have vinyl, no, because I don't have a record player or anything. Ooh. I just go on Spotify and listen to it on there.
You're just modern, aren't you?
Might get a record player at some point. That does seem like the kind of thing I would do. Sort of match with my whole aesthetic in the house and that. But no cassette tapes. What about you, Josh?
I don't even know the last time I had a cassette tape, because even, obviously, we're both old enough to have had cassette tapes, but I don't think I ever really used them that much, because I probably would have just had the radio on, you know.
Are you telling me you didn't used to make your own radio show?
Oh yeah, I used to make my own
tape. I used to do that all the time.
look where it got us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I had one of those like record drunk, because one of them, I was doing my own radio show, and halfway through, my mum comes in and goes, "What are you doing?"
Oh no, exactly.
So no, I don't think I had any. I used to have one of those ones. Did you ever have those ones which had like an SD card type thing in, and it played about a minute of a song? They call that hit clips, like, or something like that.
No,
and it
played, I don't, you know, think
so. 1 minute of Hit Me Baby One More Time. It didn't catch on. I think they were called hit clips or something like that. What about you, Richie? Are you a cassette tape man? You like, no, a what? Vinyl man. Is that a vinyl I can
vinyl,
see on
mate.
The screen?
Look at this. Look, I'll just show you. If you can turn it around here. Look, it's just there.
Oh, yeah, you see. My goodness.
Yeah, you see, there's a man of class.
Well, my dad gave me his record collection, so... And I already had a load as well, so I've got a pile of vinyl, which is a pain in the ass to move. I tell you what, that's someone said this online. If you're thinking of buying, getting into vinyl, don't. It's such a ball ache to move house with. Even the removal man just went, "I ain't touching that, mate." And I'm like, I do about 50 trips in my car.
Oh man!
It's funny that you mentioned tapes, because I put up yesterday a picture of I found Bummed by Happy Mondays on cassette. And I put it up and I went, "I've just found this." And I was instantly taken back. I just, like, the nostalgic, wonderful feelings just came piling back. And I was really happy to find it and have it. But tapes were a pain in the ass. They were just always unraveling and getting screwed up. And they've tried to bring them back. There was a few bands have tried to sort of like a kitsch sort of level, going, "Oh, this is on cassette as well." And no one's gone for it, because it's like, no, that's shit. We don't want to get back into that. Vinyl's bad enough, but you can't do cassettes, man. I've got one.
Vinyl, definitely. What's the one?
Happy Mondays. That's the only one I've got.
Because obviously vinyl had a bit big comeback, didn't it? Like about, yeah, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago or something like that. And then it's never really left again. Because it's definitely
sounds
got that,
good. It sounds good.
Yeah, and it's definitely got that vintage feel. And I think people like getting the sleeve and all that, you know, all that sort of stuff. But tapes... The quality was never good enough for it to stand the test of time, was it? So I don't see them coming back. Do you think CDs will ever come back?
Do you know what? I want to say no, and I hope not, because I've just got rid of all mine. But I'll be gutted. I had thousands. But I don't know. They're just not the same. There's just... And the other thing is as well, with vinyl, I know I sound like a right nerd now, but when you've got CDs... And especially online as well, it's all compressed. All the sound is compressed. That's why vinyl sounds better, because it's just, there's a whole reason why, but it's like more spread out, and that's why it's like warmer tones and it sounds great. And there's a real feeling with it, whereas everything else is compressed and packed down to get it on as smaller amount of plastic as possible. So I can't see CDs coming back. Really, people that take drugs have kept a few. Anyway,
well, there we go. So the answer is two of us don't, and Rich has one. So between the three of us, there is one cassette.
Group. That's what we wanted.
So there we go. Thank you very much for the question. So anyway, we'll move on to talking about this week's film, which is Freebie and the Bean from 1974. So spoiler warnings if you've not seen it. you have had plenty of time. But anyway, Rich, so you've picked this one. So tell us in in a short period of time, what is it about? But more importantly, why did you pick it? Is it underrated? Is it underseen? Do you just want to talk about it?
Well, do you know what? It's always been one of my favourite films, because it's how I first heard about Alan Arkin. Who plays Bean in the film, who's one of the greatest comedic actors that we've ever had. He's brilliant in everything. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of him. And then to be teamed up with James Caan, who's also, you know, okay, one of the greatest actors we've ever had, and always known for his more serious role. So this was James Caan in, because it's basically a comedy film, really. And going back and watching it, I watched it this week because I knew I was doing this. I'm like, oh, this is problematic. There's some stuff in this. You go, oh, yeah, no, this is of its time, man.
Definitely. I mean, to be fair, yeah, I suppose that's one of the notes, which we'll come to, because we always do sort of likes, dislikes and stuff like that. But yeah, and we'll come on to it. But, you know, obviously this film is nearly 50 years old. Yeah. It has AIDS. There's some problematic language and problematic supposed behaviour as well in there. But you know what? We talked about this before. You can't go back and change it. You've just got to acknowledge that things have changed and it's not right.
Yeah. And that's the thing about it. There was someone said online the other day about history. It's like you can't go back and erase history and change history. You have to keep it because that's how we learn. How it was. That, you know, as you know, that's how it was. Some of the language they used, the behaviors, and you go, but you need it. So then to learn from it, go, yeah, that was terrible. We don't do that anymore.
Mm.
This is where we're at now. But that is what, you know, because on the whole, the film's of its time, but it's still a good film. It's a funny film. And it just goes to show, like, two great actors. I think, you know, that would be 1974. So we said the beginning of their careers, really. Mm. So, you know, it was to see where they were and where they ended up is phenomenal. I think for that alone, you know, it's worth hanging on to. But there's another one called, Mother Jugs and Speed. I mean, already the title is terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. And it starred, sounds like more like an album.
Well, but it was Harvey Keitel, Raquel Welch, and Bill Cosby, and they're this ambulance team. Now, you already know why it's problematic. Immediately, as I said, the third name there. Regardless of the title, and I'm not going to tell you who was who, in the because Mother Jugs and Speed was the nicknames of the people in the ambulance. I don't need to explain the rest of that. And it's another film that if it's of its time, but it's a good film, but problematic. And that is one film that you could probably go, we don't really need that to be around anymore. We can push that to one side. There's too many problems with that one. You know, it's just
that's it, isn't it? It's about weighing it up. There are certain films where you go back and you go, okay, let's just sort of acknowledge that that happens and it's wrong, but I'm not going back to watch it. This is, I don't think this is one of them. You know, if you're watching this being like, tell you what, that was the good old days, then maybe you're the problem. But the use of language, you know, accept it, it's moved on, things are. Yeah. There are films, and we've talked about this before, we've done films that are far more, you know, socially, politically, whatever you want to call it, progressive, made before this than films after it. We always reference one of the first classic films we did, because we do classic films, was Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And we'll always say that we both went into that, like, with a certain idea of what it was going to be. And actually, and I think Alice would hopefully agree with me on this, we both came out going, oh, but yeah, actually, that was a lot more progressive than we expected it to be. Then you'll watch a comedy from 2002 and be like, Jesus, this is only 20 years ago. Yeah, it's really problematic or whatever. So, think, you know, things take you by surprise. And it's about, I think it's about reacting accordingly, isn't it? So in terms of why you picked it then, underrated, underseen, or just wanted to talk about it because you love it?
I think it's one of those films, because everybody talks about films like The Godfather and they talk about, like, the main, like, you know, the big blockbusters of the day. But this is, like I said, because it's got Alan Arkin and James Caan in it and a whole roster of great actors in it. I think it's worth looking at just for that alone. It's two of their finest performances. It's the two of them together. They're this cop, you know, that cliche of, like, they don't get on, but they love each other on another level. And then in the end, like, you see, like, they can't live with each other, but they can't live without each other. Now they got that going on, you know. And it's just on that level, it's a really nice film. It's a really well put together film. And you see, it's interesting seeing all the other characters that are in it and the actors that played them, because you go, oh, that's that fella from blah, blah, blah. Like, there's a guy in it, I think his name's, I wrote it down, Paul Coslow, who plays a guy called Whitey. And he's in that film. But you see, he's popped up in so many other films, always playing a bad guy or, you know, connected to the bad guys. But you see him in loads of stuff. And there was a few actors like that. That were, like, there was a guy, Jeffrey Lewis, who was Juliette Lewis's dad.
Oh, wow.
Was in loads of stuff. You know, he was in Salem's Lot and things like that. And an incredible actor. And I think that's why I love watching these films, because you see all those people in it. Go, oh, that's that fella.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. And it's...
There's a guy in it who, I think he's the DA. I can't remember. Yeah. His first name's Alex. I can't remember his surname. But I was watching him and I was like, first of all, I was like, I recognise him. We ever seen him before? And then I realized it wasn't him I recognized, it was his voice. Anyway, I googled him after I watched it, and he's in A Bug's Life, the Pixar film. I was like, oh, he's the little ant, one of the little ants.
That is amazing.
So it's stuff like that, isn't it? Like, I think that really enriches film viewing as well, as that nostalgia. But also, that's one of the reasons I got into films, was not just watching them, but also reading about them and following, you know, falling down rabbit holes, eh, Alice?
Indeed, my favourite place to be.
So, in that case, now let's move on to talking a little bit about it then. So we'll move on to what we like. So first off, first impressions, Alice. Had you seen it before?
Hadn't seen it, hadn't heard of it, had no expectations going in, didn't know a damn thing about it, didn't know what to expect. But in general, like I thought it was pretty good, you know. I thought it was kind of big, it was bold, it was fun. I thought it had a real like good momentum and good energy. It all feels really fast paced and a bit like a ride. There's loads of car chases and loads of shooting and like arguments and stuff. It's pretty funny as well. I think it's a lot funnier than I was expecting. And I think a lot of the jokes and the quips and some of the ways that the characters interact with each other are still funny now. Some of it's a bit dated, obviously, but I did laugh a few times still. And I think some of it has actually stood the test of time, considering that that's like nearly 50-year-old film. Yeah. But no, overall, a pretty positive experience watching it. What about you, Josh? I'm gonna assume that you hadn't seen or heard of this also.
No, I hadn't. I'd heard of it. Very familiar with James Caan and Alan Arkin but mainly knowing them from roles when they're a bit older. Obviously, James Caan's in The Godfather. He had a very storied career. Obviously, sadly passed away. Alan Arkin, I mainly knew from things like Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
Which I think he won an Oscar for playing the granddad. Weird to see him with hair.
Yeah,
because I'm so used to him being bald and seeing, but no, hadn't seen it, hadn't heard of it. But yeah, like you know what you say, I think it's a perfectly decent action comedy. It's almost not got a plot. The plot is almost second to the whole idea. And from what I read about the film, that was definitely a conscious decision where they, I believe at the time, both James Caan and Alan Arkin. I get it mixed up with Alan Alda from MASH. Alan Arkin went to. They were doing like improv classes, and through that they decided that the film should actually be a comedy rather than a straight up buddy cop film.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably where, I think if this is not got that comedy in it, I think it's nowhere near as good, it's nowhere near as memorable, whereas because it has got that, and particularly the chemistry between them, you know, they bicker all the way through it, like you say, it's like that odd couple thing and that old married couple thing, isn't it?
But yeah, it is the comedy that makes it. Like you say, if it didn't have that in it, it'd just be a straight cop film, and that's been done, especially at that time. You know, it's one of those films where weirdly they're driving through alleyways and there's someone weirdly wheeling clothing on a clothing rail,
yeah,
or boxes or something, and that was in every film. You know,
fruit carts
of
oranges.
It's always something
like that, isn't it?
Workmen working in weird places and they skid into them, and you know, if they didn't have the comedy in it, that would be just another boring film. Like the bit when they end up in the apartment and you've got the old people in the bed, and Alan Arkin just kind of like stumbles against the wall and disappears, and then James Caan's like, could I use your phone? And then there's a bit when he's on the phone to the tow truck and he just goes, yeah, we're at this address, blah, hang on a minute. He looks out the door and he goes, apartment, blah blah, third floor. It's like
it's those total, little subtleties. They total three elevated. Cars in this film.
Yeah,
they total three cars, don't they? Brilliant.
They must have totaled. I mean, if you add up all the films from back then, how many before CGI that you know now they can total as many cars as they want, but back then they had to physically smash all these cars up. It's not good. I mean, the carbon footprint.
I think I read that it had the record until Blues Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I might be wrong, but I'm sure I read somewhere had the record for most total cars from until Blues Brothers was made. Probably about 10 years later, something like that. So,
yeah.
So other than the comedy, then what else do you like about this film? Obviously, you've watched it again. And obviously, you've mentioned about the fact that it's not held up a little bit, which we'll come on to. But what did you like about it?
I just love films from that era. I think it just reminds me of when I was a kid, being allowed to stay up late, you know. And every now and again, your mum and dad would say, I'd always hear them talking about films like Bullet, like they are Bullets on tonight and things like that. And so I was always curious, like, oh, what are these films? And I remember sitting on the landing in my house and I could hear the film on. They didn't know I was up. I was just sitting there listening. And I could hear all these screeching of tires and things smashing up and all that. I'm like, what is this that they're watching? So then when it came around again and they were like, oh, this is on. So I was like, oh, can I sit up and watch that? And I'm like, oh, all right. As long as you don't move a muscle and you sit there and you're quiet, and you have to sit there rigid for an hour and a half.
My parents always went, yes, but don't repeat any of the language. that's what they always used to say to me. But no, and that, do you think nostalgia does a lot of the heavy lifting for you, or do you think it still holds up as a sort of buddy cop comedy film?
I think it still holds up, as you know, as you said. Nostalgia does a lot of heavy lifting, but at the same time, as you said, it does stand up. But I think because you're into your films, you guys kind of, you know, you invested in it. You're like, oh, let's see what this is. Whereas a lot of people, if they're not really into their movies, might not necessarily go, oh, there's a lot of people that don't watch old films. They're like, I was talking to someone recently when I don't watch old films, and they were talking like about a film from like 1998 or something like that. Pretty Woman. It was Pretty Woman. I don't watch old films.
Don't watch these films where everyone in it's dead. Everyone's in it's alive. Yeah, don't watch it.
I'm like, what is Pretty Woman, man?
Like someone's coming to them with that. Like, this is actually a Russian art film from 1916. Don't watch old films. What's it about?
I mean, that's it. Some people, I think it does stand up as a film. You know, it is. If it came on and you were, you know, watching telly, or you found it, and I think you click it, you click, what's this? And I think you'd stop and watch it.
Mm.
You know, so I think it does stand up. So your nostalgia does a bit of it, but I think it's good enough. There's enough going on immediately where you go, oh, what's this? This seems interesting. And you'll watch it. You'll sit and watch it. So it's worth your time.
I think it's all about the chemistry between the two of them. Because whilst I was watching it, I was thinking, because I noted that what you said, you know, it has aged, you know, as in, inevitably things like this age. And there is some, you know, derogatory language and stuff like that in it. But even though both of them are quite misogynistic and quite sort of pig-headed in places, they do a really good job because they're both such good performers, because they both work so well together, of making those two characters likable, even though really with some of their actions they probably shouldn't be.
But
they are. So I think that's a real testament to them. So what did you like about it, Alice? Obviously, what did you like?
The performances are way up there. Like, the two leads I think are really, really strong, and they work so well together. Like, you can just tell that they're in the same film, if that makes sense. Like, they just bounce off each other so well. And it's like they've both really understood the characters, really understood the assignment, really understood that the world that they're in. So they brought so much to it. But then beyond them as well, the side characters, a few of them really brought a lot as well. So one who really stood out to me, and I'm not sure what his name is, I didn't pick up on it, but you guys will probably know, but he's like their superior or something. Like, early in the film, he drags them into his office and he's the one who tells them that they're not fit to guard the fish at the aquarium.
The DA. That's the Bugs Life ant guy.
I just thought he was absolutely hilarious. I thought he, like, his mannerisms, his facial expressions, even like the inflection in his voice and stuff, like, it just felt like he was really giving it his all, and he just made me laugh so much. So I really appreciated him. But a lot of the side characters I thought really brought it as well. Like you've already touched on there, Rich, the stunts in this are just never ending. Like, you say they totaled 3 cars. Is that really it? Like, it feels like it was about 100, right? It is just constant. So the cars are crashing, the carnage is intense, they're flying around all over the place, they're smashing into each other and smashing through people's walls into their apartments. And then at one point, one of them's on a motorbike and the motorbike comes flying off the top of a building and stuff. And as well as this just kind of being visually just so striking and just sort of so much and filling the screen, it all sounded really intense as well. Like, the Foley artists are going to town on this.
Yeah.
And it all just kind of really enhanced the drama and the action and just really brought the energy levels up to fucking 11. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just like constant. It was like bam, 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 bam. So I really appreciated that. And I thought the energy and the momentum really held up throughout. What about you, Josh? Was there anything else that really stood out?
I thought the action was, but again, for the time as well, you forget, like, Rich, you know, Rich only briefly touched on it there, but this is before CGI, so it's so much more difficult to do those practical action scenes. When I said they totaled 3 cars, I mean, in the film they totaled 3 cars. I'm sure in the production, probably loads more. It's one of those action films, one of those cop films where it feels like everything's made of matchsticks, but it doesn't matter. Like, they're just plowing through brick buildings, just plowing through them. Like, absolutely no issue. just people does made he, of matchsticks.
Does like, he say, just one thing that's popped into my head then, just one of the really funny moments, he says one of them says something like, why are you driving this like a Porsche? It's a Ford. And he's like, it's a Ford. Yeah. It's a Ford. He's just like screaming in his face. It's just like, that just kind of sums it up completely. He's driving everything like a Porsche.
Yeah. But it's almost self-aware, isn't it? Because it's a comedy, I feel like the action is purposely daft. Like they know that by referencing it, it's almost halfway between a comedy and a parody in many ways. Yeah. So like that. Yeah, just to touch on what you said as well, as the supporting cast are great. My highlight was Alan Arkin's wife, because there's that really great scene where he's trying to interrogate her because he thinks she's having an affair, and she's just got an answer for everything. And everything she says, she's just like, it's this, like, idiot, basically. And I thought her performance was really, really good. So I like that as well. Lots of good comedy bits as well. So there's things in it, like, for example, they're closing in on a guy who's in the bathroom of I think it's a bar or it's at the baseball game or something like that, isn't it? And they make everyone leave. And one guy stops to wash his hands and they have to like grab him and like go, no, fuck off. Like, we're trying to arrest someone, basically. So yeah, real good mix of comedy and action, but definitely, I think, a really, really wise choice to go, no, this is a darkish comedy rather than anything else. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's interesting that you say about the improv classes, because there are bits in it that don't seem scripted.
Yeah,
like some reactions to stuff. There's a bit where they're in the clothing shop, and Alan Arkin's like, people pay $65 for these shirts, and then James Caan's explaining to him why. He goes, yeah, because when you take it to the dry cleaners, when it comes back, it's got all the buttons on it. That's why. He's like, not like this piece of shit you're wearing. And he starts putting his buttons on. He goes, hey, 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 hey. And then there's a bit where the guy comes over and Alan Arkin kind of walks off. And he's like, oh, no, don't worry, look, look. And James Carr's going, look, we're cops, we're police, we're police. And he's showing him his ID. And Alan Arkin comes back and he's filling him with his wallet. He goes, ah, and then just walks off again. You know, I don't think that was scripted. That just seems just like,
you can't imagine someone typing it out, can you? Or writing it out or whatever, being like, no. Fiddles with wallet, yells.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So let's move on then to talk about things that we perhaps didn't like about the film or that we would change about the film. Obviously, we've touched on one of the issues, which I'm sure we can expand on now, as we've alluded to. Alice, what about you then? Is there anything particular that you didn't like, or is it just the obvious?
I mean, for me, the problematic stuff is just, you see so many films and it's just like, it's kind of just a sign of the times. It's not the worst I've seen. Like we said, like, I've seen films that were made much more recently that were far worse than that. So it didn't bother me a great deal, and it definitely didn't bother me as much as other films have done. Apart from that, there's a lot of shouting in this film. So much shouting. All the characters are shouting at each other. No one just has a normal conversation.
It's a passionate film, isn't it? Everyone's very passionate.
Very passionate. Characters will be sat side by side, but a foot away from each other, and they're just screaming at each other. And I was just like, oh God, it was rattling my ears a little bit. So I could have done without that. The other thing as well is, I wonder if there is such a thing as too many car chases.
What?
I think so.
I know. I don't know if there
too
is
many
such a thing.
Car chases. You'd be saying there's too many comic book films next.
If there was.
You'd be saying there's oversaturation.
If there was, I think this might be the film. It was just, I felt like it was every other scene. I was like, oh, they're at it again. Here they go.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what? It's fine if that's what you're into, but it's quite a long film. It's nearly 2 hours. And a lot of it was car chases.
An hour and 40 minutes of that is car chases, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, maybe have some, a bit more character development, maybe a bit more, because we see a little bit about their home lives, maybe see a little bit more about that, get to know these people as men and, you know, as people. What do they like? What don't they like? What are their fears? What are their hopes and ambitions and all this? Could we just done with a bit more of that, maybe a little bit less car chase? And the final thing, really, and this isn't a huge offender, but it does all feel a bit chaotic at times. And I think that there were some instances where I found it hard to follow. And you said this at the beginning, Josh, it's not really about the plot.
It's light
it's not
on
really
plot,
about
isn't
the
it?
Story.
Yeah.
It's kind of everything that's sort of going on in between. It's about the action. It's about the comedy moments. And those are really good. And they do stand out as being quite good. But because of that, there was the odd time where I was like, well, who's that again? Who's that fella? Who's that woman? And I was like, but it's not a complex. It's not a complex story. It's not like, you know, it's sort of high concept sci-fi where it's like, oh, I don't understand what the fuck's going on.
Tenet.
No, exactly. It was just a bit more like, oh, that guy. Oh, he was someone. Oh, and then she, well, where did she come from? So I was a little bit like that at times. But no major offenders, really. And overall, I did have quite a positive experience watching it. What about you, Josh? Anything that you didn't like that you would change?
Do you know what? More or less the same as you. Obviously, like, you know, we've touched on the fact that it's age, there's some derogatory, trouble, you know, problematic language in there. But times have moved on, and we can't pretend it never happened. but yeah, it's that issue. It is light on plot, and that's fine. I don't think it suffers for that. Apart from probably the first 20 minutes, because it's light on plot, there's a vague plot about them trying to arrest someone, but that person has a hit out on them. So they essentially have to keep him alive so they can arrest him. And yeah. I don't think it's clear that that's what's happening until about 20 minutes in, because it starts with them sort of going through his rubbish and stuff like that. And it's not clear what they're doing until the DA comes in like a big exposition dump. And goes, oh, so it's this guy you're looking for. And they're like, and then one of them goes, we've got to keep him alive as a hit out on him. And I think it's fine if it's light on plot, but in that case, don't structure it in such a way that it starts like that. You know, you could start it like where they're on an unrelated case, they're just being cops. And if you did that and then had that thing come in, the film wouldn't be any weaker for it, would it? That's what I think anyway. Do you know what I mean, Alice?
Yeah.
Other than that, well, I suppose I'm not a big fan of the title. It does sound like Morning DJs.
Terrible title.
Yeah. Because also it never refers to them as their actual names, and it never explains what it means. It's just nicknames, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think maybe Freebie, because he's always nicking something. Like, he gets that jacket off that fella.
Oh, that's James Carr.
Always helping himself to stuff. So maybe that's his nickname. And Bean, I think, thinking about it now, might be a racial thing.
I think you're right, because he's meant to be of Hispanic descent, isn't he, in it? And Freebie makes jokes about that all the way through.
All the way through.
And so perhaps it's something to do with, like you say, like food or something like that.
It's going to be something derogatory.
I suppose there's worse things it could have been. But yeah, not that bother on the title. What about you, Rich? Obviously, is there anything you didn't like? Is there anything you'd change about it? More car chases, perhaps?
I think you know, having watched it when I was a kid, the plot was irrelevant. It was just a film where, like you said, they're all shouting at each other. It goes at 100 miles an hour. It's funny. I think that was it. I used to watch it because it was funny. It's just the pair of them. It was just a stupid film, and you didn't really think about it. And it's not till later on that, you know, I've watched it again, and I'm like, oh yeah, there is this plot is like you said, thin. I don't even remember why they were trying to arrest a bloke in the first place.
Indecent exposure.
It's racketeering, and they arrest him for indecent exposure.
Mm. Yeah. You're like, what?
It might as well just be like illegal stuff, innit?
Yeah, they might just say that. Yeah, yeah, just stuff. Oh, you've just smashed up a city. You've put a car through an apartment block of an old couple. You've done all these things.
They not only shoot a guy in the toilets, they obliterate him.
Oh, they shot up a dentist place.
Oh, I like that bit, actually. I like the little twist that there's the guy who they think is just another patient, and then he's the hitman.
Yeah, oh, they have the shoe out in the lift as they're going down, and how stupid is that? You're out in these two lifts that are going down.
but things like that, I think there's a lot of films I've had where I watched them when I was younger, and I didn't care about the plot. I just liked the action.
Yeah.
And sometimes as you get older, you think, oh, actually, like one of the films we did a little while ago now that Alice had never seen before is True Lies.
Right. Yeah.
And what I liked about that when I was younger was the big action sequences. And when I watch it back as an admiral, you know, as someone who's much older, I think, but it's a really good action spy film, comedy, parody. You know, it's got a little bit of everything in there. So it either ages and you'll find new things to like, or you go, yeah, but I liked it when I was a kid, so that's fine.
Yeah, just accept it. Absolutely. I liked it then, I like it now.
Okay then, so let's move on to talking about the critical reception and the box office, and we can sort of decide if it's underrated, underseen, or whatever. So you've sort of picked this, Rich, because I think it's fair to say you might think it's underseen because people aren't going back and watching it. How do you think it fared with the ratings? Do you think it did well, badly, middling?
I mean, I think James Caan done The Godfather at this point.
Yeah.
So he would have been a huge star. So, and I don't know, Alan Arkin obviously had been in things as well. So I think the pair of them would have been quite a big box office draw. So I imagine it did all right at the time. But okay. I don't know.
Alice, how do you think it did, sort of critically, commercially?
I mean, I feel like it must have done all right. Like, I feel like this is the sort of thing that people would want to watch at the time. I reckon people thought it was pretty, like, cool, pretty funny, obviously very fast paced, lots of cars, lots of crashing. So I reckon it did all right. I think it must have got at least a six, like at least in the sixes, least, maybe a mid to like high six.
An average six?
Yeah, so maybe okay. Like a, say like a 6.6 or a 66.
Mm. Any more specific? Or
that's as specific as it's getting.
Okay, well, so what we'll do is we'll start with the box office then. Now, it's hard to find specific box office because of the age of the film being before that old interweb. But it seems to have done okay. Generally speaking, seems to have been quite the hit sort of commercial. They couldn't find any really specific figures, but I could see that it did well because it did go on to have like a spin-off, or they tried to make a spin-off TV series. And like you've already touched on, both of the stars, particularly James Caan, were quite big at the time. Mm. But critically speaking, okay, let's have a look. So at the time of recording, you're going to love this, Alice. On IMDb, it got 6.6 out of 10.
Which is exactly,
what he said.
Nailed it.
I am the master.
Over on Rotten Tomatoes, can't believe it. 66% from the audience.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
So
that's
your two generally speaking audience figures are 66%. However, and this is a big however, the critics on Rotten Tomatoes give it 20%. So that might be one of the lowest ratings we've had for a guest episode.
That's very low.
So 2 out of 10. So if you average those scores out, it's 50% or 5 out of 10.
What didn't they like? That's so low.
2 out of 10 or 20%. I would definitely say even the average score of 50% is you know, it's not a 10 out of 10 film, but there's lots to like in there. I enjoyed it. And I think it's probably 50% on average. I'm gonna lay my cards on the table. I'm gonna smash my car through the wall and say that is underrated. What say you, Alice?
Just quickly, here's the critics' consensus, right?
Yeah. Not enough car crashes.
It says on Rotten Tomatoes, a sour blend of misguided comedy and all-out action. Freebie and the Bean is a buddy cop picture that's far less than arresting entertainment. All right, get over yourself.
That's just some pissed off 70s critic, isn't it?
Yeah.
The 60s are over. The 80s haven't happened yet. He's annoyed.
I think that is underrated. I think that 20% is...
20%?
I'm very surprised.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I wonder, is it people... maybe I could... this is the problem, obviously. People watching it now, looking at that film and going, oh, well, this is bad. They shouldn't be saying this and all that. But... you got to put yourself in the mind of a critic at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yourself in the critics' minds of 1974. I don't know. But I reckon we can call that underrated.
But that's like we see now, Alice, as we said earlier, Alice, is that, you know, you can't look at it as it is now, as you are now. We were all out, our perspective of all these things has changed now. So we look at it now and we go, yeah, the language is awful, the behavior is awful, the misogyny is through the fucking roof. But back then it would have been different, and you know, not right. I'm not saying it's right, but it's different. And so if you come at it, if you come at it now, I don't know many people that would enjoy it. But if they clicked on it and it was on and they started watching it, I imagine they'd watch it to the end. But I don't think you could say to anyone, I've got this film I think you should watch, because they'd go, I'm not watching that.
But you did it. You did that to us and we watched it.
I made you. You had to do it.
Yeah, it's work, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, you must agree, Rich, that's underrated, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely underrated, yeah.
There we go. You must be happy with that then. Underrated.
I'm well happy with that.
Yeah. So there we go, another one in the underrated. It's always great when someone comes on, they give us their time, and we can go, underrated. I'd never want to break a heart, do you know what I mean? But so there we go, another one in the underrated pile. Seek it out. It's not the easiest to find, but you will be able to find it if you look. Give it a watch, see what you think. And it's always worth exploring new film avenues, isn't it? So anyway, Rich, tell the guys at home, what have you got going on? Where can they look out for your stuff? Tell us, tell everyone.
So everything I do is on my website, richwilsoncomedian.com. All my dates are on there. All the podcasts I've been on, I'll put a link up to this as well. That'll go on there. So all the stuff I do, and my podcast, Insane in the Membrane, my radio show, The Tuned Up Time Machine on Islington Radio. And I'm just running around doing gigs and doing wonderful things like podcasts like this. I love this. Just running around. Doing
Tell us a little bit, because I've listened to your podcast. It's really great. Tell us a little bit more about that, because obviously, as you'll say when you explain the concept, especially at the moment, really, really important. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So it's about helping men figure themselves out a bit more. It's about, you know, because suicide rates for men are through the roof. And I want to help lower those numbers. It's ridiculous, because even now, even though the conversation has now been going on for a few years, there's still people that still don't know how to talk about what's going on with them and how, you know. The other thing is as well, like, I have guests on, like, women and trans people, and because there's a lot of men that have never, they don't really not understand what it is to be a woman, or, you know, we don't understand how it feels to be, you know, a trans person. So I have guests on where I can ask the stupid questions, and I'm, you know, and sometimes I get it wrong. It's a bit clunky now and again, but I ask the questions so that other people can listen and go, oh, right, yeah, okay, so that's how that works. Okay, cool. Then, because, and I say this all the time, like, on a basic level, men don't understand the cycle that a lot of women, you know, with the periods and things like that, they don't understand it. It's a cycle. Which I know sounds dumb, me saying to you, go, everyone should know that. No, a lot of men, we weren't told about this thing. And I've found out through, I mean, the guests on my podcast are talking about these things, that, you know, on that level, that's what women are dealing with constantly. And then, not even that, then you got the thing, there's all manner of stuff. Men need to talk to women and talk to trans people and talk to people from whatever backgrounds to have a better understanding of the world. And that's why we do it. Just so, you know, I ask the questions that a lot of men are scared to ask, and, you know, and I sometimes get it wrong, but that's my job. And then, you know, I want men to have a better understanding. I want men to be better understood. So that's why we do it, really. And and it's working.
And I think it's a really good way of framing it, that idea of you ask the questions that you think need to be asked, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're living in the post-smartphone internet age, aren't we? The digital revolution, as it were. And the way information changes hands now is completely different than how it was 20, 30 years ago. So things have moved on. Everyone now is and should be more socially, culturally, politically aware. But there is also an element of people are scared to ask because they don't want to look stupid or get in trouble or whatever. So I think it's definitely good to have a place where there is a point of reference of, you know, it's okay. And there has been a big push. You know, there was a big push last year by, I think it was just the Department of Culture, that was just, it's okay to ask.
Yeah.
That idea of, you know, and most people who are being asked would much rather you understood than lived in ignorance. And I think that's why what you're doing, what your podcast is doing, is really important. So we will put links to it and your website and all that in this episode. We'll put some stuff out on social media. But yeah, definitely go and check it out. You know, the funny side as well. And it is very funny. You know, it's all done, isn't it? With you know, it's like it's enjoying it, talking about it, but also appreciating the funny side of it as well in places as well. So definitely check it out. I would recommend it. And we'll put links out when this comes out. So, thanks very much for coming on, man. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Rich.
It's nice to meet you both. Thank you very much.
Well, there we go. Another guest episode in the bag and another underrated film. It's always nice when people come on and we can confirm that, as the oracles of what is and isn't underrated, that their choice is right and their opinion is, of course, correct.
Indeed. That's what we're about. Know that they've succeeded at the podcast, and that is all they want at the end of the day.
It is. It's all they crave. The list of people have said, please tell me that my opinion is right. but anyway, we'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. If you just search for Just Films and That, you'll find us on Facebook, Twitter.
I like the sound of that.
It's a new one. It's just a bit of a chuckle. It's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Head on over, give us a like. We're just putting content out there as well. Make sure you check out Rich's stuff. We'll put links in the episode, put some stuff out when this comes out as well. We're also over on Patreon, so if you fancy getting episodes early or extended episodes, there's a couple of tiers over there. Any support you can give us is always appreciated. The link is in the episode notes as well. And we're also on the television, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. Every Friday from 6 p.m. you can find me and Josh talking about all our favourite underrated and underseen films on the local TV network. So if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. I'm also uploading all the episodes to Dailymotion. Dailymotion. You remember that? So if you head on over there and type in just films and that, you'll find us. But yeah, that's every Friday from 6 p.m. on the local TV network.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, get in touch with us. But as ever, thank you very much for listening to this episode. It really does mean a lot. And we will see you next week. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.